All right, come on in, y'all. We got Sunday school in here today. Hope we all, Tammy got her coffee there. There we go. Picked it up on the way. Catherine's got her coffee. That's good. Tea, there you go. All right, for Sunday school, we're back in Ruth, and the subject is something that, I think it's a pretty appropriate subject. To be a little bit personal. What we're going to talk about is something that I've had to ask. Over the course in ministry, you have to ask some of these questions, and I'd say probably in the last 2 years, had to ask these questions more. The question is this. Why not keep going? And sometimes I think we think of it as why should I keep going? You know, there's discouragement, there's trouble, there's things like that, and so you ask the question, why should I keep going? But maybe the better question is, why would I stop? Why would I stop? And that's what happens here in Ruth. There's some application. And I'm going to tell you, every single verse that we're going to look at has a standalone reason that answers the question. And so Ruth chapter 2, let's read a little bit. And deal with something that is very appropriate, something that everybody deals with, and you're going to deal with it multiple times in your life. And that's the idea of quitting, the idea of just giving up. And so what's neat about what we're looking at is, like I said, every single one of these verses has a standalone reason that says, why would I not continue? Ruth chapter 2, verse 18. Ruth chapter 2, verse 18 says, and she took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So Ruth has gone into Boaz's field. She's been allowed to glean and get food and get it for her and Naomi. And the Bible says, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast. Pay attention to this verse. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Till the end. She stuck with it till the end. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that this morning. But let's pray, and we'll preach on these things and teach on these things. Father, I pray that you would encourage and help. And there's so much good devotional stuff in here, and just the way Ruth lived her life is what a testimony. I pray that we could glean and get what we need from these verses and be a help. I know they've been a help to me to think about these things and think about specifically as they relate to this story here in the Bible with Ruth and Naomi and eventually Boaz and just the family and what comes out of that family. I pray that you'd help us today. And for those that are traveling or gone, pray that you'd keep them safe, get them back home safe. For those that are sick, and some are not feeling good today, and I pray that you'd help them, give them grace and comfort and healing of the body. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so to catch you up a little bit, Ruth and Naomi, Ruth's a Moabite. Naomi and her husband had moved to Moab out of the promised land and out of God's will. And eventually Naomi's husband dies and her two sons die, Naomi's two sons, and one of her sons was Ruth's husband. So Ruth's husband died. And there's a decision at the end of chapter 1 there to go back to Bethlehem where Naomi's from. And Ruth makes that decision. The other daughter-in-law, Orpah, doesn't make that decision. And so the story follows Ruth's, and the Holy Spirit follows Ruth's decision-making and where that leads her, and eventually leads her to a man named Boaz, who happens to be related to Naomi. And so it just happenstance, seems like, but it's not just happenstance. The Lord guides and directs and has set the parameters and the laws and motion and creation that things like this would happen. And so, and he intervenes and leads Ruth to Boaz. And Boaz is a gracious man. He is a law-abiding citizen. He is a God-fearing man. And so Ruth has been allowed to glean in Boaz's field and get the food that she needs for her and Naomi to survive. So that's where you're at. And Ruth sticks with it, and the Bible says at the end of this chapter that she stuck with it until the end of the barley harvest and the end of the wheat harvest, and she continued to care for Naomi until all the harvesting was done, and she was a caretaker and a provider for Naomi through all of this. And so Ruth has worked until the end here. She's not grown weary in well-doing, and I thought about that. That's another good thought. Be not weary in well-doing. But you can say stuff like that, but if there's not a compelling reason to believe that instruction, then you know you're going to fall to the wayside, so to speak, because you just don't see a reason to continue. Ruth sees a reason to continue, and in fact, like I said, in all of these verses, there is a standalone reason to continue. So it's not why should I quit, or there doesn't seem to be a reason to keep going. The real question is why not keep going? Why not? And when you look around and consider some of these things, that really becomes a good question. I'll give you number one here in verse 18. The first reason not to quit, the first reason Ruth has not to quit, or this is Ruth and the story of Ruth and Boaz and Naomi, the first reason given in these verses is in verse 18. And the reason is because it makes provision for the present time. If Ruth decides to stop gathering and gleaning from Boaz's field, the provision that's been made for her and for Naomi stops. So number one, it makes provision for the present time. Look at verse 18. She took it up, went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought forth, gave it to her, and that she had reserved after she was sufficed. It makes provision for the present time. Ruth brings home so much food that Naomi is awestruck. She knows whoever made this provision for them is exceedingly great and merciful. Let me show you a cross-reference to this. Look in Titus chapter 3, a New Testament reference to this. Why not keep going? Well, because by you continuing, you make provision for the present time. You make provision for the present time. And maybe it's not necessarily just physical provision. Maybe there's some spiritual provision you make. But here's a good cross-reference. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. It's beneficial now. It's beneficial now. Look in verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain. See that? Maintain. Maintain good works, why? For necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Point number one, why not keep going? Well, because by continuing, you make provision for the present time. And Ruth knows how she's making provision. There's a very specific thing that she's doing. She's gathering food and she's caring for Naomi and herself. She's making provision. So Ruth could ask herself, why should I not keep going? I mean, if I stop, Naomi's not going to be cared for. I'm going to have to go figure out something else. So it's better to just continue. Continue what you're doing. Number two, in verse 19, because it's an encouragement to others. It's an encouragement to others. Verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Naomi's encouraged. See that? Naomi's encouraged. Naomi sees all of the abundance that Ruth has been able to take home. And the reason Ruth's been able to take it home is because of the grace of Boaz and the faithfulness of Ruth. And those things combined are an encouragement and a great help to Naomi. It's an encouragement to others. Naomi is so encouraged by Ruth's help and how things are working out. None of this, just a step back, none of this is possible in Naomi's life without Ruth. I mean, maybe you could hypothesize and say maybe somebody else shows up, but absent Ruth right now in Naomi's life, Naomi doesn't have this. I don't know if Naomi becomes a beggar. I don't know what happens to Naomi's life. But what we do know is Ruth provides help and encouragement to Naomi now. Naomi's so encouraged by Ruth's help and how things are working out. It's a direct result of Ruth's faithfulness. You understand that your faithfulness, put it this way, someone else's encouragement is a direct result of your faithfulness, of you sticking to it. Because people watch, kids watch, friends watch, your faithfulness. Your dedication, you may get discouraged, but I'm telling you, your stick-to-itness and your faithfulness is an encouragement to other people. And you may look back and say, man, that was a low time. That was a valley. That was a bad time. And that's where people get off track. And they lose sight of what's important. So they don't have that memory to come back to say, man, I'm glad I stuck to it because this happened. I'm glad I stuck with it. Ruth sticks with it. She continues to care for Naomi, and Naomi is so encouraged by this. It her life, granted, there's tragedy in the past. There's death of a husband, the death of her sons, all that has happened, and nothing can erase that. That it's happened. There's nothing that can erase that. But at the present moment here, Naomi sees someone who is trying to help her, Ruth, her daughter-in-law. And she sees now this faithfulness has produced fruitfulness, and now it's produced encouragement and a future. Number two, the point is because it's an encouragement to others. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. I'll give you a little cross-reference to this one. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Why keep going? Well, because it's an encouragement to others. People are watching. Your kids are watching. Friends are watching. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what this is. It's supposed to be encouragement. And he says, all the more as you see the day approaching. What does that mean? That means it gets harder to do this. It gets harder to do the steadfast work as the day goes on, and it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. But you know what the reason is? Why stay faithful? Why keep going? Because it's an encouragement to others. It's a help to others. Maybe your feelings and my feelings about the Bible sometimes, about church sometimes, about fellowship sometimes, aren't all that this is about. Maybe it's about other people sometimes. And maybe it's more about just dealing with the distasteful stuff. I'm sure in Ruth's life, I'm sure as she's gleaning in the field, she probably has problems with the other ladies in the field sometimes. Maybe there's arguments. Maybe it's just so hot in the day. It's just so tiring, and I just don't want to go on. And Ruth has to think, and she does, and she thinks this through. And she's committed to it, and she thinks, you know what? If I don't gather food, Naomi doesn't have food. Why keep going? Because it's an encouragement to others. Here's another one, back in Ruth, verse 20. Number three, because it opens doors of opportunity. Those glasses, that's about the third pair like that. Verse 20. If y'all didn't see it, this is what happened to my glasses right here. Verse 20. It opens doors to opportunity. Look what Naomi says in verse 20, Ruth chapter 2, verse 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Ruth doesn't understand necessarily all of this. What's going on with all this? She knows, I need to help Naomi. I need to help Naomi. I want to help Naomi. And what's happening as Ruth does the right thing? She's making provision. She's an encouragement. And now doors of opportunity are starting to open. Naomi says, well, that's interesting you showed up in Boaz's field, because he's a kinsman. I'm related to Boaz. There's some opportunity there. Look in Galatians. I'll give you a little New Testament cross-reference to this. Look in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Why stay faithful? Why keep going? Because it opens doors to opportunity. Those doors get shut in the face of infidelity and lack of devotion to the Lord. But look at this. Look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Great verse. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There you go. That means there's opportunity for those that stick to it. There's a future. It opens doors to opportunity. Back in Ruth, Naomi says, Ruth, you don't know this, but there's other things and bigger things at work by what you're doing. There's a kinsman, and apparently you've showed up in his field, and he's a good man, and he's a gracious man. It opens doors to opportunity. Naomi sees another bright light of opportunity in this, and kind of like, you know, people say, I think it's sort of like this, that hard work begets luck, or hard work begets good luck, or something like that. And it's, I know that's not exactly how that works, but devotion and hard work bring about opportunity is what they do. They bring about opportunity. So what Ruth is doing opens some more doors now. Her faithfulness, why keep going? Number one, it's provision for the present time. Number two, it's an encouragement to others. Number three, it opens doors to opportunity. Number four, here's the fourth reason. Because the kinsman knows what he's talking about. Now watch what Boaz has told her. Look in Ruth chapter 2, verse 21. Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, so this is what Boaz said to her, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. So this is Boaz's instruction to Ruth. Stick with it. Stay here in my field until the harvest is done. Stay here. And I can't help but think, Boaz instructs Ruth to stay in his field, and I can't help but think Boaz has some understanding that Ruth probably doesn't have. Boaz knows some things that Ruth doesn't have, and because Boaz instructs Ruth, hey, stay here. I have made some plans that you don't know about yet. I'm just encouraging you and instructing you, stay here. The kinsman knows what he's talking about. I mean, don't you think, and you know this, you know Boaz has taken care of some loose ends that Ruth is not even aware of. He's told her some. He's made some provisions. He's taken care of things, and that's why he says what he does. So how does that relate to continuing? Because the kinsman knows what he's talking about. When I say the kinsman, I'm not just talking about Boaz, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He knows what he's talking about. And so when he encourages, let me show you, look in Ephesians chapter 2. I'll give you another little New Testament cross-reference to this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So this is the plan that Jesus Christ, that God the Father has of souls in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So His plan, his plan. The plan is to, first of all, salvation in Jesus Christ. Secondly, you're not just saved so you can be saved. Salvation is for the purpose of doing good. It's for the purpose of being a good servant and serving God in a good way and good works. And it's not like good works and salvation, all that stuff. This is the purpose of salvation, is good works. And this is what the kinsman says. This is the plan of the kinsman. This is the plan of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ says what he says. And I mean, don't you think, just even in the story of Ruth and Boaz, Boaz gives Ruth some instruction, and he knows a little bit more about the situation than probably Ruth does. So his instruction is good instruction. Now you take that and say, okay, this is just not about Boaz. This is about what the kinsman Jesus Christ says to his people. And when he says, continue in well-doing, don't you think he might know a little bit more about what's happening? Maybe he has a little bit more perspective on things than you and I do. We're just trying to be Ruth in the field. And when the kinsman says, hey, stay in my field, I'm telling you, just stay in the field until the harvest is over. Don't you think Jesus Christ knows what he's talking about? Don't you think he might have a little bit more information? And so maybe I should be more inclined to just listen to the kinsman, because the kinsman knows what he's talking about. Number five. Why stay faithful, Ruth? Why should we stay faithful, Ruth? What's going to happen here? Number five, because the alternative to doing good is doing evil. Because the what is the alternative? I say, well, I don't want to love this person. What's the alternative? Do you choose to hate this person? Is that where this goes? Because the alternative is doing evil. Look what Naomi says. She says, what Boaz has said to you is good advice. Verse 22, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, it's good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. It's good. So what's the alternative? If Ruth decides, you know what? I'm not interested. It's too hot. I'm not interested. The weather's not good. I'm not interested. Well, then Ruth stops doing what's good. The alternative is, if I'm not going to do what's good, I'm going to do what's not good. Whether that's just lay around, whether that's just ignore my responsibilities, whatever the case is, the alternative is, if I'm not going to do good, I'll just do evil. I think maybe sometimes that is the question to ask, really. What's the alternative? If I don't do good, then what am I doing? If I'm not going to do good, if I'm not going to do the right thing, what am I going to do? Look in Romans chapter 12. I'll give you another New Testament cross reference here. Romans chapter 12. Naomi says, this whole plan is good, Ruth. This is good. Stick with this. This is good. And if Ruth says to Naomi, I don't like the plan. I'm not really that interested. Not interested. So then Ruth ceases to do good, but she doesn't. She makes the right decisions. The alternative to doing good is just doing evil. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Give place to wrath just means let it go. Just let this thing pass. Don't take the vengeance upon yourself because it's not your job. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There's the dichotomy. I can eat it when I'm confronted with evil, or when I'm confronted with, let's just say, bad circumstances, and when I'm confronted with trouble, we'll just say back to evil. Confronted with evil, I can choose evil responses to respond to the evil, and that's my natural course. That's what I want to do. I would rather choose evil to respond to evil. Paul says, no, no, no. That's how evil continues, and that's how evil runs the world. Be not overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. So my response should be, when I'm confronted with evil, is something good. I need to do good in the face of evil. What's the alternative of doing good? The alternative is to just do evil. So number five, why stay faithful? Why continue? Why would I even continue? Well, what's the alternative to continuing? What's the plan if you discontinue? Then what do you do then? If I'm not doing good, I'm you may not say I'm doing evil, but I'm not doing good. And if I'm purposed by a God in Jesus Christ to do good, that's the plan God has for me. Number six. In verse 23, why stay faithful? Why continue? Because endurance through the trouble is temporary. It's temporary. Verse 23, here's Ruth. The Bible says, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Why? Well, it's coming to an end at some point. It's coming to an end. And if you don't want to be found, you don't want to quit before it's over, Ruth works hard. She stays faithful to her newfound responsibilities. I don't know how long this is, maybe a couple months where she's doing this. And as she's doing this for Naomi, and as she's making these provisions, and as she's being an encouragement, and as these doors of opportunity are starting to open, why? Because she's doing the right thing. And as the kinsman says, continue, 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 continue until the end of the harvest. Because the alternative to doing good is just doing evil. But lastly, because endurance through the toil is only temporary. It's temporary. It's so much easier. It's so much easier to do something that's not enjoyable as long as you see that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. If you know what? This thing comes to an end. It comes to an end. And we used to joke about it when I was at the rig. You know, you'd stay up for hours on end and, you know, there'd be problems and stuff like that. But our hitch was, you know, 2 weeks, 14 days on, 14 days off. And the joke was the guys, we go out there and it may be problems for 2 weeks. But the joke was, look, I can stand on my head for 2 weeks. As long as I know there's an end to this, as long as I know I'm going home, I'll be out here 24 hours a day, 14 days. And at the end of that, I'm going home. You know what Ruth understands? I stick with it until it's done, because there's a day where it will be done. It's temporary. Ruth works hard. The struggle is temporary. I can't emphasize it enough. The struggle is temporary, but you know what the reward is? Forever. It's forever. The things that Ruth endures for this little brief time of the heat of the day, of trying to fit in as a Moabite among Israelites and with these Israelite maidens and trying to find her place. And really, she doesn't even, her place is to take care of Naomi. She doesn't necessarily have to be everybody's friend in the field, but she knows what she's trying to accomplish. And she knows this thing is not gonna, it's not gonna last forever. It's not gonna last forever. If I can get through the harvest, we can get through, we can store up enough food. But you know what happens in the meantime of all that? Doors of opportunity open, and what the decisions that Ruth made in these few months change her life forever. Forever. Because of these decisions, you have a book of Ruth. You have a history of David's genealogy here. Because of endurance and the toil only lasts briefly. It's brief. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Thank God for that. So maybe after all of this, you got six verses with six standalone reasons that answer the question, why not keep going? Why would I stop? Why? There's nothing compelling enough to say you need to stop doing this. There's no incident. There's nothing that has shown up that is of greater, I don't know, not authority, but just of greater argument that says, yeah, you need to quit. Now is the time to quit. Nothing showed up like that. And I step back and I say, what? Why not keep going? Why would I stop? Why would I stop going? And maybe that's the better question. Why not keep going? What do you stand to lose if you quit? Where does that put you if you stop? And when I say this, and maybe it's really vague to just say keep going, keep going, keep going, because all you guys are in church, you're here, you're in Sunday school, and all that stuff. But maybe there are aspects of your relationship with the Lord, and I've seen it with this, I mean, guaranteed, and I hate to bring it up, but guaranteed, 2 years ago, people's lives and their spiritual lives were changed for maybe forever. People's lives were rearranged. The things that they never thought they would have to experience, they experienced. And this idea to keep going, maybe you look in your life and you say, you know what? I lost something a couple years ago. I lost something. I lost a few things. I lost some things that relate to my relationship with the Lord. I don't know where they went. I've lost them. And I look back and think, what happened? Where do these things go? I just feel like I'm kind of lost with my relationship with the Lord. And that's probably happened to a lot of folks. Everyone faces reasons to quit on the Lord. Everybody. That's 1 Corinthians. Your temptation is not unique. It is common among men. No temptation hath taken you, but such as is common to men. The trick is to make you think it's a unique situation. And my situation is different. And the reality is, your situation has played out 1,000 times in people's lives over the centuries. Everyone faces reasons to quit. And you've known people. You've known people who have gotten mad at people, gave up on God, gave up on serving the Lord. I mean, everyone faces these things. The question should have been asked before you gave up, what do I stand to lose when I quit? What does my family lose when I give up? Because if I give up, all right, where does that leave us? Well, all my problems go away. No, they don't all go away when you quit. You know what you find out? You still have the same problems, and you don't have any support of them. I've just managed to lose all life in my life, and so my question is, why would I quit? Why? What is the compelling reason? And then what do I stand to lose when I do quit? Where is that going to put me in 3 months? Where does that put my family? Where does that put us? If I make a decision, and usually these decisions aren't made like overnight. It's a process of discouragement and trouble and frustration and anger and all that stuff. And eventually it comes to, you know what? I'm done. I'm fed up. But instead of asking, where is that going to put us? Where is that going to put us? It's the better question is, why not keep going? Why not? Ruth is, there are so many things that happen in Ruth's life because of her faithfulness. You've seen, like I said, all of these verses, they give another reason, just one reason after another, that encourage and show, you know what? Faithfulness is the key. Faithfulness is the key. It opens doors. It encourages people. It makes provision. It keeps me from doing the wrong things. Why not keep going? Why not keep going? So this chapter ends on a great note. Ruth kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest. There's an end to it. And of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And it's just going to get better and better as the book goes on. And these decisions that Ruth makes, they're temporary decisions, but they have a lifetime of effect. A lifetime of effect. So here's the question for the millionth time. Why not keep going? Why not? Why not? What has presented itself as a viable reason that says, you know what, I accept all the consequences, that if I stop loving the Lord, or I stop serving the Lord, or what is the thing that is compelling enough to say, you know what, that's a good reason to stop. That's a good reason. That's a good reason for me to hate people. That's a good reason for me to be lazy about. So that's a good reason for me to not put up with this. That's a good reason. Where's the reasoning? Where's the reasoning? Because in Ruth, man, she is steadfast. She's faithful. It's temporary. And there are all of these benefits that go with it. Not to mention some that outlast the decisions themselves. Incredible. Incredible story with Ruth. And it's great devotional stuff. Just great material for our lives. So I hope that is helpful. Let's pray, and we'll wrap this one up. Father, I pray it's been helpful. I know I have had to ask these questions, and not to be too personal with everybody here, but these are things that I think everybody in the ministry, every Christian deals with. Just the world wants people to quit on God and to quit on Jesus Christ. And there's so many things thrown at us. But when we really step back and look at it, I think the real question is, why would I quit? Why would I do that? Where would that leave me? Where would that leave our family? Where would that leave us? I pray you've been encouraged. I've been encouraged personally by going through this. It's just been a personal encouragement. And I hope that translates into the study here. I really do. I hope it transfers, because it's helped me. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed for a little while. For a little while.